Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
There are people out there who will stereotype you based on what kind of car you drive. Now, I'm not one of those people, but I know people out there who are. So occasionally I've heard people mention BMW drivers as if they somehow are a group unto themselves. Well, here's the deal. A bunch of people sent me a story about an obnoxious BMW owner who's been ordered to pay over $5,000 to his annoyed neighbors. His neighbors are annoyed. And here's why. They say that he is loud and drives recklessly. But not that he is loud, but that his car is loud. And that he allows it to be loud and actually makes it loud. And the whole story is entertaining for a variety of reasons. From thedrive.com, Lou and Day wrote the story and sent me, like I said, by a bunch of people. Most neighborhoods have that guy, the one that drives a fully sick, lowered car with an ear-splitting exhaust, capable of waking up all but the soundest sleeper when they cruise around the streets. And actually, in my neighborhood, I've got a couple. But it's actually just people with bad exhausts. Some people just don't believe that exhausts should be replaced. Once the exhaust goes bad, it's just keep driving. So often, it's just one of those things you learn to live with in the suburbs. But for some, it can be too much. Back in May, they reported the case of a man who's got an internet presence who was being sued by his neighbors for disturbing the peace. Those lawsuits went to trial, and the man lost to the tune of over $5,000. This has been reported elsewhere, including a place called Tire Meets Road. The primary lawsuit sought $10,000 in damages, was brought by a homeowner living across the street from the man with the BMW, claiming his noisy cars and driving style ruined the quiet enjoyment of their home over a five-year period. They further alleged that he had used verbal assault and attempted to intimidate the homeowners in past interactions. The neighbor over the man's back fence got involved also, filing a suit for $5,000 on the basis that the man's behavior interferes with the quiet enjoyment of my property due to his reckless use of his vehicles. Now, I saw some tweets that the man put up after he'd been sued, and he was mocking these people, saying, hey, look at this, these idiots are suing me, or something to that effect. But you don't want to do that too much in case you lose. According to Tire Meets Road, both of these cases were heard on the same day, and the judge quickly came to a ruling on the matter. In the first lawsuit, it was about 20 minutes to reach a verdict, and overall, the plaintiffs, the two people, were granted $5,000 and $500, respectively, to be paid by the defendant. Now, the man lives with his mother, who was also listed as a defendant in the lawsuits, and the two of them dealt with the matter quickly by paying the money, $5,914.74, which was to cover the damages and associated legal fees. I suspect some of that's the filing fee, for instance. During the proceedings, it came to light that both neighbors had sent cease and desist orders to the man and his mother earlier in the year, and no response to the letters was given, which led the neighbors to then file the lawsuits in San Diego Small Claims Court. One suspects that had the letters been paid attention to, the man might not have ended up in court. Now, here's the thing. Cease and desist letters are a funny thing. I know people who say we should send a cease and desist letter. I know people who say I've been served with a cease and desist letter. And cease and desist letters are simply something that someone writes. They go, I'm asking you to stop doing this and to not do it in the future. And there are some cases where it has an actual legal effect, and some it's just kind of like you just do it to see if it works. So I can give you some examples. For instance, in Michigan, if somebody slanders you or libels you, you can send them a retraction notice and say, I demand that you retract what you just did right there. And if you don't, I might come after you for punitive damages. And if the person retracts what they did, what they said or wrote, then you can sue them for damages, but you can't get like punitive or exemplary damages. But I know, for instance, I worked at a radio station once, and the radio station had gotten their hands on a bootleg copy of a Guns N' Roses song that was not released yet. And they put it into heavy rotation, as we called it. And someone came by the radio station with a cease and desist letter, and it came from a lawyer for the record company saying, we demand that you stop playing this song until such time as we actually do release it as a single. And we ceased and we desisted. But the cease and desist letter is more a matter of just, you know, you do it to see if you can get someone to stop doing something before you decide what you're going to do later. So the cease and desist letters were sent. Apparently they were ignored. The man wrote some mocking tweets and wound up in court. Now, the man's initial response was one of incredulity. Following the ruling, the man indicated that he feared for the impact the decision could have on the rest of the automotive scene. Obviously, one concerned neighbor securing a cash payment from the owner of a loud vehicle could serve as an inspiration to other busybodies to file their own claims. With that said, it appears in this case the damages were awarded based on a long-term pattern of loud, aggressive driving rather than a simple case of a neighbor getting uppity over a noisy exhaust. That should be of comfort to automotive enthusiasts who drive respectfully around others. And, you know, quite frankly, the obvious solution here is that there are statutes. There's actually ordinances or traffic laws on the issue of having a vehicle that's too loud. And the problem is that those laws aren't enforced. And one of the reasons is it's so hard to enforce them because they talk about how loud a vehicle it is from a certain distance and things of that nature. And we all know that there's vehicles out there that are too loud. And for the most part, nothing ever happens to them. And so, you know, that really is the solution. I've never heard of this before, somebody suing their neighbor for their car being too loud, but it worked twice. So while loud exhausts and driving, goofing around can be fun, it's typically inadvisable to do so on public roads, and it's even dumber to do it regularly in and around your own neighborhood. Yeah, go do it someplace else. You don't want to annoy your neighbors because they are the same people day in and day out, and they know where you live. The age-old expression, don't poop where you eat, applies here. In any case, for his trouble, the man is out a big wad of cash. He'll also surely know that further actions down the same path will likely be looked upon poorly by a future judge if it comes to that. And so the question is, if the judge basically said, this is for a pattern of behavior over a long period of time, I'm going to hit you with these fines and damages, actually, and force you to pay that to the plaintiffs. The question really is, what if he just keeps doing it? Can they file a lawsuit the first time he does it, or do they have to wait a few more years like they did the first time? It's strange. But really what it boils down to is that when you file a claim in small claims court, many judges will actually look at the complaint and interpret it knowing that the litigants aren't professionals. And so if you filed a small claims court action and said, hey, this guy owes me money, okay, and then you explain the circumstances of it, the judge is probably going to read that and go, okay, we're talking about a breach of contract, we're talking about a loan, and figure out a way to couch it in legal terms. And so I suspect what the judge did here was, even though it talks about the quiet enjoyment of property due to reckless use of vehicles, that sounds like a bunch of legalese, but it's not really. It's not really. I mean, reckless is a word you hear occasionally. Quiet enjoyment is something you hear, but that's usually in a landlord-tenant situation. So let's suppose that you rented an apartment and the landlord lived next door and was playing loud music. You could sue your landlord for the lack of quiet enjoyment of the property. This is actually more of a nuisance case, And a nuisance in a legal sense is when somebody does something, and I'm not trying to use a bootstrap argument here, but it's just a nuisance. And it usually does interfere with your ability to enjoy your property. So let's suppose, I'm again making stuff up here, let's suppose that you have a piece of property. And next door to you is a neighbor who loves to have bonfires. And we've all known these pyromaniacs. And every single night, they're out back burning something. In fact, you're wondering where they get the fuel for these bonfires. I mean, where do they get this much stuff to burn? But every single night, they're out burning stuff, okay? And they're burning a mountain of stuff. And due to the prevailing winds, 9 nights out of 10, it drifts over into your yard. And it gets into your house. You're sitting there trying to watch TV, and all of a sudden your house is filled with smoke. And it turns out they're not burning like cedar chips. They're burning like pallets that apparently were soaked in some industrial waste and petroleum byproducts, and it stinks. And the smoke actually has a haze to it that's blue-green, and it's sticky. It's a hypothetical. Work with me. And so this smoky, smoggy, foggy haze that envelops your property every single evening is a nuisance. Now, they're not coming onto your property. They're not physically coming, but they're causing something to come over and take away your ability to enjoy your own property. And now, your city might have a rule on burning. They might say you can only burn certain times of the year. You may have to get a burn permit. There's all kinds of things they might do. But there's some places that, nah, you know something? They got a fire pit out back, and as long as they burn stuff in the fire pit, it's no big deal. They got a fire ring, okay? And they make it sound like they're out back roasting marshmallows, when in fact, like I said, they're burning industrial waste. That would be a great example of a nuisance. And you could sue them for the harm they've caused and also try to get them to stop doing that in the future. So that would be a nuisance. So I suspect that the obnoxious BMW owner was being treated by the courts more as a nuisance than the lack of enjoyment, quiet enjoyment of the property, was probably couched more as a nuisance complaint. So where the $5,000 comes from, I don't know. We've talked about that before. Some cases, it's very, very easy to figure out what your damages are. In some cases, it's not. In which case, the judge or the court just yanks numbers out of thin air that seem to make sense. But the obnoxious BMW owner has been ordered to pay over $5,000 to annoyed neighbors. Case stories from The Drive. Lou and Day wrote it. And Jason, Todd, Ricardo, Paul, Heather, and Nathan all sent it. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments? Put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Man cannot discover new oceans unless he has the courage to lose sight of the shore.